Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. The world is extremely happy about the election of Mr. Barack Obama to the office of President of the United States of America. And seldom in recent history has there been so much enthusiasm and optimism and euphoria related to the appointment of a human leader. Notice this article by Deutsche Welle, a German news agency, which was published on November 5. World leaders have hailed Barack Obama's victory in the U.S. presidential election as the, quote, dawn of a new era, close quote. German Chancellor Angela Merkel congratulated Obama for what she called his, quote, historic victory, close quote. And then we find that the EU Observer wrote the same day regarding a comment Mr. Sarkozy, the French president, made. He said, by choosing you, the American nation has chosen change, openness, and optimism. But the question, my friend, is how long will that enthusiasm last? How many of the promises which Mr. Obama made during the presidential campaign is he actually able to deliver? Now, even liberal newspapers and magazines in the United States have pointed out the insurmountable problems which Mr. Obama is going to face. Notice this article from the New York Times, which was published on November 5. No president since before Barack Obama was born has ascended to the Oval Office confronted by the accumulation of seismic challenges awaiting him. What kind of decision maker and leader Mr. Obama will be remains unclear even to many of his supporters. The article goes on to say he promised on the campaign trail to close a detention facility at the United States Naval Base at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba, but analysts in both parties expect that to be more difficult than he imagines. He will inherit a deficit that could approach $1 trillion next year, which could curtail his ambitions like expanding health care coverage. If he really works with Republicans to find common ground on issues like Iraq, terrorism, and climate change, he risks alienating his liberal base. Mr. Obama's soaring speeches have created such a wall of anticipation that there is a deep danger of letdown. And then they conclude by saying there is always some surprise that you cannot plan for, said Nancy Soderbergh, a top national security aide under Mr. Clinton. She recalls the first President George Bush's decision to send troops into Somalia just before handing over the Oval Office to Mr. Clinton. And here is that looming question what Israel, perhaps with the support of the United States, is going to do insofar as Iran is concerned. There have been newspaper records and reports which have said that Israel is going to attack Iran after the election, but before the inauguration of the new American president. And then we find that Mr. Obama will demand further commitment by the Europeans and especially Germany when it comes to the war in Afghanistan. But that is a very unpopular move, and Germans as a whole don't like at all to be involved in that war. Now notice what the Los Angeles Times, another liberal paper, wrote on November 4. The nation is in dire economic straits. The new president will focus first on stabilizing the economy. He will probably defer some of his biggest, most controversial goals until later, a decision that may send some of his liberal supporters into post-election depression. And yes, the Associated Press wrote on November 5, Bush is the past. And let me just say that the enthusiasm and the euphoric reaction to Mr. Obama's election can be understood in light of 8 years of the Bush administration. But this article goes on to say that Obama is the future, and it begins now in troubled times for a president-elect with a costly agenda of promises that would be difficult to deliver in far better economic circumstances. And our economic circumstances are, in fact, awful. We just received the latest unemployment figures, and it was mentioned that the layoffs have now been as high as they are now since September 11, and analysts say it's going to get worse. And notice this article from the AFP, dated November 3. The U.S. Treasury said Monday it would seek to borrow a record $550 billion in the October-December period, in other words, the last quarter. But the article also points out that over $500 billion had already been borrowed for the third quarter, meaning that during the last two quarters, more than $1 trillion have been borrowed by the federal government. For what purpose? For the purpose, amongst other things, of bailing out troubled banks so that they can start lending money to customers. But that's not what we see happening. And so the population, the American citizens, are deeply distressed about the fact that those bailout plans don't seem to work at all. And Mr. Barack Obama has to face that problem. And what solution can he possibly offer? During the presidential campaign, and even now, we find that people are using words like deliverer or savior or Moses, insofar as Mr. Obama is concerned. Der Stern Online, a German magazine, just published a series of photos, and the series was entitled America's New Savior. These are difficult, dangerous words because I recall that the German people called Adolf Hitler their savior, their deliverer. And we also find that the people of Italy called Mussolini actually their god. Yes, they called him God. But none of that has helped them. And if ministers of religion use words like Savior or Moses in regards to any human leader, then they make a great mistake and they have become a great disservice to this country. Because specifically ministers are supposed to focus our attention on God. And our trust must be in God. And it mustn't be in human leaders, any human leader, because human leaders are bound to disappoint us. I recall when Arnold Schwarzenegger became the governor of California through that recall procedure, and how he promised that he wouldn't touch education. And then when he was a governor, he immediately touched education. And now he is telling us that he is looking for increase of sales taxes. He wasn't able, he has not been able to substantially improve the economy in California. And so people have been very enthusiastic about his election at the time. They probably are not that much in favor any longer. And the same is going to happen to Mr. Obama if we put our trust in him and forget God in the process. Let me read to you a very familiar scripture from the book of Jeremiah in the 17th chapter, and I'm reading from the New International Version's translation. It says, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." And let me just say that you cannot do both. If you trust in God, then you don't really trust in man to the same extent. But if you trust in man, then you don't trust in God. And Christ, Jesus Christ, told us that you cannot serve two masters, because you either serve God or you serve mammon. You can't serve them both at the same time. And notice how this scripture goes on. He, verse 6, the man who trusts in man, will be like a bush in the wastelands. I find this translation rather interesting. A bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the deserts, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man, happy is the man, prosperous the man will be, who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him, not in human accomplishments, not in human leaders, not in human institutions. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It doesn't fear recession or depression or financial disaster. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. You see, my friends, if we trust in God and we understand where our prosperity, our help, our security comes from, then God promises us that he will help us, that he will deliver us, that he will protect us. But if we continue to trust in human beings, in human leaders, in human accomplishments, including the military, including our wealth, our prosperity, the American way of life, and thereby forget God in the process, we cannot expect to be delivered. Terrible times will come unless this nation as a whole repents, changes its way of thinking and its way of doing. In other words, as long as we believe that marriage can be anything else but a union between a man and a woman, As long as we believe that we can just abort our children for no reason whatsoever, as long as we continue having these wrong value systems, then how can we expect God to help us? How can we expect God to deliver us from the terrible times to come? Because they will come. We have prepared a booklet which is titled The Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord. You need to read this booklet because it doesn't only tell you the terrible times which are going to come. It also tells you that God will and can protect you if you trust in Him. Not in human beings, not in human leaders, not in human accomplishments and institutions, but in Him. God promised us help. He promised us protection. Why don't we take God by His words? Thanks very much for watching. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.